Almighty Father God, you gather us together. More than that, you gather us together, this particular bunch of people who you have called to be together, not physically at the moment, but very much in spirit and in truth. Lord, be amongst us as we worship and pray and praise you this morning. Be with us, stick with us, as we try to find you in all the things we do. Be amongst us, Lord. Bless us and lead us on by the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, where is God in the everyday, particularly at a time like this? The 6-month wall is apparently a real thing. That it is, you know, over 6 months since lockdown back in March. Remember March? It was still only this year. And so we did all that and we followed all those rules. And here we are, 6-7 months on, and it's just starting to get to people if it hadn't already. And now there are new and confusing rules once more. What can we do? What can't we do? Who can we do it with? When can we do it? As somebody said this week, it's all going to end in tears. Ba-dum-tsh. Thank you very much indeed. Yes. So we'll spend a bit of time with Philippians, with Paul's words on where God is in the everyday. And before all that, a couple of songs. If I can share screen, you'll know them both. So do feel free to sing along. Here we are. Share computer sound. Great song, that one. And now something a little more, maybe not a little more traditional, but still a song, again, I think we all know. So do please sing along. And there we are, two songs that speak of God being present in all things. And that's very much the theme for this morning. John, could I ask you to, Mr. Mutton, could I ask you to unmute yourself and share about Gwyneth?
Yes, good morning. So as a chaplain, I must be very careful if I'm to say anything about anybody, whether they're even in hospital or not. But I've asked Gwyneth if that were possible, and she's more than happy for me to say anything about her to anybody I like.
So yeah, Gwyneth.
You are people, that's therefore permitted. And this is ties in very well, David, what you're talking about this morning, or will be. So I'm just doing my rounds, going around the hospital, just seeing this and that, what's going on. And I just had this sense, just go and which I'd have done from time to time, just go and stand outside the emergency department and just chat to the staff there, so which I do sometimes. And this ambulance was there, and the ambulance paramedic, she was standing talking about this person who was in the ambulance, and what a lovely person she was, and how she'd been working with her and clearly met her once before, I think. And then the doors opened and there was Gwyneth. And so I just got involved and chatted with her as she was wheeled out and into the hospital. I didn't catch up with her after that because obviously she was needing to be cared for, and that's not my particular job. But later on, a couple of days later, I was able to see her on the ward, and this was all this week. And she's fine, really. She just wants to get back home. They'd taken her in because they were her carers were a little bit concerned for something. And but what I want to share with you is, and I was thinking about this, is something that she said, which is, and you have to understand Gwyneth to some extent in her faith, and I would describe her as an ox. Now, an ox is incredibly strong. It's got various sort of attributes of just determined progression. It will not, you know, if it's on its way somewhere, it will do what it does in its own time and in its own way. And it will not hesitate to carry on because of its immense strength. Now, if you look at Gwyneth, she is not physically like that in any way. In fact, she's incredibly frail. But when she talks about faith, it's quite another matter. And she was talking about her family, but we talked about church and we talked about this period of time we're in. And she said to me, "Jonathan, we talk about faith and we talk about church, but this is a time of real faith. We need to step up to a different level of real faith." And this is something coming, nothing I've prompted in her, but something that came from her. And I think that would be helpful for us to understand today from her, really. There she is. I don't know if she's still in over the weekend. She wants to get home quickly, but she strikes me, and always has done actually, as someone in the depth of her soul who has incredible ox-like faith, just doesn't divert one way or the other, and is quite a testimony to me. Just that's it, really. Okay, thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to share my screen again, and here we are. I've printed off a passage, which I think area speaks of what we're talking about this morning. Philippians 1:27 through to 2:11, and it goes like this. "Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had and now hear that I have. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, as we used to say in the Anglican Church. And that's a passage that speaks of living the gospel. Whether people know about it or not, it's what we're called to do. And I'm going to make explicit links here between a couple of the verses and a big news story of the week. But you see this, verse 27, only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And again, at the beginning of chapter 2, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And we've seen that this week in the footballer Marcus Rashford. It's not, as some people have claimed, virtue signaling. It's virtue. He's living this life because that's what he was brought up to do. And so he is stepping up for people who are underprivileged, underrepresented, whose voices are not being heard, because it's the only thing he can do. And what was interesting on Twitter this week, he issued another statement. Some conservative politicians may have voted this week against feeding children at half term and have been roundly condemned for this. And Marcus Rashford put up a statement saying, yes, but don't go after their families, because it's not their family's fault. Make people accountable for their choices, but don't cast blame out where blame was not originally caused, as it were. And so we see someone living the gospel, and we know from his mum that this is what he was brought up to do. Emma, you wanted to share a few things. So unmute yourself and have a word. But while you do that, I will share that Facebook page again so that we know who's working locally.
Yes, just to say that I have been following Marcus Rashford for some time, and I've been following his campaign to end child poverty, and what was amazing this week was, after the vote, Marcus Rashford was very down. He was very upset by the fact that so many MPs had voted against providing free school meals to children in need, and he made a comment on his social media feeds, and suddenly he started posting notices from different pubs, cafes, bakeries, community groups, Christian groups, and councils around the country, who were all so appalled by what had happened, where as people were saying, you know, here's a group of people who earn £80,000 a year for sitting in the House of Commons to make decisions about whether our children go hungry or not, and they have subsidised food in their canteens. And where is the justice in that? And they can claim all their expenses, and where's the justice in that? And does anyone understand really how hard it is to feed a family of four on £600 a month, when that £600 a month has to cover shoes and clothes and emergency repairs and household bills, as well as food? You know, any, you know, if your cooker breaks down, or, you know, the handle falls off your frying pan, you know, all of that has to be covered with that £600. It was very, very moving. It was very moving on them all day yesterday, all the, you know, different venues all around the country that were saying, you know, actually, these children are innocent. Whatever their parents, you know, because the people were casting aspersions and saying, but their parents might be ne'er-do-wells, their parents might be drinkers or smokers or something like that. Why should we give extra money to those families? And again and again and again was raised that point that within this conversation, children are innocent. They are blameless. So in Winchester, there are a few organizations that are stepping up to feed children over the holidays. And there are pockets of social deprivation in Winchester. And there are also families in Winchester. And you've got to remember that Winchester includes the villages beyond Winchester and some of the local county market towns. There are people who will have lost their jobs, who will have been furloughed, who will be, you know, finding life very complicated at the moment. So the thought is that perhaps if anyone here wants to contribute towards helping feed children this half term, a donation can be given to the church, who will then pass the donation on to Winchester Basics Bank.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you. I've put a link to that Facebook page in the chat if anybody knows then how to click on the link so that you've got the information. Julie, you want to say something?
Only that I appreciate that some people already are donating to the Basics Bank, but with Emma's thoughts and comments this week, thought if we as a church wanted to send something, then but also time is of the essence, I guess, because we're at the beginning of half term. So yes. I don't know, can pop an email around and perhaps people can let me know by the end of, I don't know, is Monday realistic if you want to do so? I'd organise something on Tuesday or Wednesday. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll sort out an email round and then I'll...
Can you put the church banking details in the email again, please?
Okay, we'll do.
Thank you.
And we know that things are tight. There will be people on this screen right now who are running overdrafts. There will be people on this screen with unpaid bills. There will be people on this screen with maxed out credit cards. But if you can give anything, that's the whole parable of the widow's mite, that she gave what she had rather than worrying about what somebody else was giving. So there we are. And there we are. How do we find out who is in need? Well, we don't. If we don't already know, maybe our neighbours, maybe our friends, but people tend not to be terribly forward about this kind of thing and saying, yes, I'm in terrible need. But by contributing to the people who are helping and by amplifying the voices of those companies who've said that they're stepping up, and indeed by patronising them in the other sense of the word, support those local restaurants, those local industries that are doing their bit, and lobby the MP. Write to Steve Bryan, ask him why he voted that. Lisa.
If I'm honest, I'm feeling really kind of challenged by this theme, but in a way that is really challenging my own life. I sort of feel this is a really, really deep subject, and it's not just about giving some money to a food bank at the moment, is it? There's something much deeper here. Mm-hmm. Mark and I were with a missionary yesterday. She's working in Portsmouth. She's living in a static caravan. She should be out in Iraq, and she can't because of COVID. She's living in very poor condition. She herself has no money, but she is working with refugees in Portsmouth who have no status. They have no, I know, Julian, you've encountered a friend who's been in this position, but there are people in Portsmouth that she's working with who are sleeping in bin sheds. Mm. That she's buying shoes. I don't know how she gets the money. She has no money of her own, but she's working with people that are falling through all of the holes in our system. They don't fit anywhere. They literally do not fit anywhere. And we had a lot of conversations last night about the rate of suicides going up. Mm-hmm. So what it's left me with a question about my own life and what am I practically and physically doing, and who is the people that has God put around me. So I don't want this to be kind of wrapped up in a, so if you want to do this, contribute some more money to the food bank. I know that a conversation I had with the food bank coordinator a few months ago said that, and I said this in my response to Emma, is that there's a dignity thing in Winchester. People feel ashamed to receive things. Mm. And actually what they were asking for is that if there's people that we are engaging with on our doorsteps, as you've said, David, then they would really appreciate that. I don't know if anyone's seen the film I, Daniel Blake, but people themselves want to help. It's about being with people, not doing for them all the time. So sorry, I just want to sort of say that this is quite a deep thing that I'm challenged about it, and I'm just putting that out about let's not put this in a sugar wrapped.
Julie.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Putting money as a donation doesn't absolve us from doing everything else, but in the absence of anything else, that's the least we can do. But certainly if we're aware of people that need help, we should be helping those directly, not just by putting money somewhere else.
Emma, go for it.
And of course, as David said, we should all be speaking to our local politicians to ensure that this is a top-down response, not a bottom-up response, because in the ideal world, everyone will be cared for, and politicians recently have been absolving their responsibility of caring for people and talking about not wanting to create a dependency culture and all sorts of things like that, but actually that's not helpful. There are people out there who, for all sorts of reasons, can't cope at a particular moment in their life, and we need to catch them and help them. And you know, we need to let our MPs know that.
So just to add to that, I think we should be praying for our I think you said that last week, Emma, but they're under huge pressure themselves at the moment, aren't they? The world's been turned upside down. And they'll be getting thousands of emails a week about thousands of things that everybody feels forgotten and neglected at the moment. So I just feel that they're at their wit's end. We need to be holding them up in prayer as well. And regardless of what we think about politics, that includes Boris Johnson.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Hold these people to account, but also hold them up in prayer. It's a both and. It's not an either or. John.
I'm interested in what Emma's saying about bottom up or top down. And I wonder whether actually bottom up is better. Because
there's a reason that the Baptist Church is that shape. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to say, really, other than I'm not quite comfortable with depending on top down.
Do it.
I think, Imogen and Letty both did an inspector calls for GCSE English. And the wonderful thing about an inspector calls is it teaches children about why a bottom-up approach doesn't always work. Because the good people who are supporting others are often judgmental. And if you have a top-down approach, you don't get that. You don't get the you know, the good woman who says, no, you can't have some money because your values don't align with the values of our mission.
But just go back to what we've been looking at with Philippians. That's encouraging a bottom-up approach, which has the mind of Christ. Now, the character, particularly the lady in spectacles, she is wanting to. She's wanting to do that the right thing, so that she's seen to be a good person. Now, I think somewhere in what David read, it talked about the fact that it doesn't matter what people, you know, think of you as to, are you doing what you're called to do more by faith?
Just... Again, this is the point of the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, that the Pharisee stands up there on his full dignity and says, I thank you, Lord, that I am not like him. And the tax collector goes, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so we know where we stand. We know who we are. And so it's about both. It's about asking the people at the top to do the right thing, but it's also about doing the right thing ourselves. I am sent back, as I often am, to the letter from James, and these words in chapter 2. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you can say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? The call is both. Mark.
So, yeah, I mean, I think reflecting on our faith, we have a faith which right from ancient times has organized the top down in terms of looking after the widows and orphans and the foreigners in the land. That's in, if you like, in the law of Israel. So that's a really good thing. But we also have things like the parable of the Good Samaritan and who is my neighbor. And I think we could never imagine a world or this country which had only top down or had only bottom up. So in a way, although it's much more messy and difficult to navigate, in reality, we're going to have top down and it's not going to be perfect. And we're going to have bottom up and it's not going to be perfect. But we are people who are led by the Holy Spirit. So, and we can't solve all the country's problems. I was sort of praying a bit this morning, sort of not very well, really, between doing all the chores and stuff. And the thought came to me about being light and how can we be light? As Christians, how can we bring God's light into people's hearts, and especially thinking about Christmas as well, and how can we bring the light of God into various situations? So we can bring the light of God by helping the Basics Bank. And I was in Waitrose just briefly last night, and the Basics Bank bucket, if you like, is overflowing with stuff for the Basics Bank, which is a really good thing. So we can certainly add to that and donate by the church as well. So yeah, I think we all can do things and pray for our people, but it's going to be a messy hodgepodge of different things, really. And we should do some things as church as well and do some things as individuals too. So yeah, let's keep having this conversation and now trying to navigate our way through it. And I think there's merit in all the arguments, really. But yeah.
Now, this is how it is, and this is how it's always been. And this is what God calls us to do what we can, where we can, on the ground with our neighbours. Who is my neighbour? It's the one who needs us. And by making our voice heard and by amplifying the voices of the voiceless, by making our voice heard when someone else can't, and so getting stuff done in all things. And it's great. The passage in Philippians is just solid on this. Just live your life according to the gospel. And And if that changes everything, that's great. And if it just changes the person next year, well, that's great as well. These are very much what God calls us to do. I think let's spend some time in prayer. I will unmute yourself when you have a prayer to pray and share it with the rest of us. And then I'll bring things together. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, forgive us when we have hearts of stone, when we only look to our own households and jobs and lives. Forgive us, Lord, for those times. Forgive me, Lord. Put in us a heart of flesh, a heart of love, and a heart of vulnerability, Lord. Pour your love and your light into our hearts and turn that into action, an action for you, an action guided by you and directed by you. We give ourselves into your hands for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord, I pray as well for the people in our fellowship, Lord. From the youngest, that might be little Brody here today. I pray for Brody, Lord, your joy and your blessing on him today, through to the oldest, Lord, which might be Les, I think, Lord, and everyone in between, Lord. And it's sometimes easier to look for things that are happening outside of our own doorsteps, Lord. But, Lord, you call us to serve and to bless the people around us, Lord. I'll just lift Gwyneth to you. Thank you for Jonathan's sharing about her this morning, Lord. We just lift her to you. Thank you for her ox-like faith, Lord, and that she's such an inspiration to us, Lord. Just pray your blessing on her and Lionel and her family. And on Wendy too, Lord. You know, she's just recovering from an ox. Your blessing on her and your blessing on Stan. Lord, just pray that you might really richly bless them at this time, Lord. And for all of the people, Lord, whether it's material poverty or whether it's spiritual poverty or emotional poverty, Lord, just ask that you would really encourage and strengthen, bless those around us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
And I want to pray for our politicians, all our MPs, for compassion, for insight and for wisdom in their decisions. Amen.
Lord, I pray too for the politicians, Lord, that they might find you at this time, Lord, as we just notice, Lord, in COVID, the dangers of looking to government to solve everything, Lord, and to try and rescue us, Lord. And you are the rescuer. You are the one who can bring healing, Lord. You can bring transformation, Lord, of souls, physical, emotional, spiritual, Lord. You came to bring light in darkness, Lord. And Lord, you came for the politicians too. Lord, I just pray for all of those politicians that might already know you, that they would, Lord, just be encouraged and strengthened by your spirit, Lord. Just pray for your transforming spirit, Lord, to impact them and to guide them. And for those who don't know you, Lord, I just pray for miraculous interventions, Lord, where they might encounter you and know that you are the King and that you came to save them, Lord, and that through your channels and through these hierarchies, Lord, you can bring about change. But Lord, I just pray that there would be a calling back to you.
Sorry.
Father, I just pray for those who are just suffering silently, whether it's with anxiety or ill health or the stress and the worry of trying to make things work the way they want them to. Father, all those who are put under so much extra pressure because of the COVID, the uncertainty and the just the unknown, Father. Father, I just pray that in the midst of all this uncertainty, they will find you, that there will be a light, whether it be a word or a helping hand or just an acknowledgement that something out there is greater than them but is looking for them. Father, I just pray that this will be a chance for your light to shine into their darkness, that you will be able to reach in through the Spirit and just really hold and embrace and bring home those that you love in this really dark time for them. Father, I just pray that there will be opportunities and openings and that those that need you so greatly will be able to find you. Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord, I bring to you all the people who in these current circumstances are feeling a great sense of loss, either because a member of their family has become ill and gone into hospital or gone into a home and they can't visit them, or because a member of their family has died and they weren't there for them. And I give you their guilt and their sadness, and pray that you can give them some peace in these difficult times. Amen.
So, Lord, we hand all of this to you. We lift all of this to you. We praise your great name, Lord. And we thank you for all the things that you have done for us and in the lives of people we know. And we ask more. We ask more, dear Lord. We ask that you continue to be a presence in our lives and that you continue to enable and empower us to do what we can for the lives of others. We ask you, Lord, to inspire us, to lead us, to show us by your example and the example of your people, from your word in the Bible and your word in our hearts. Speak to us, Lord, that we may be a part of your work, that we may continue to build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Be amongst us, Lord. Be present in our financial dealings, in our social interactions, in our day jobs, in our lives, May we be your people. May we represent you. May we shine your light in this dark and troubled world. Lead us, Lord. Show us your way and help us to follow your path in all we do. By your great name, for your glory, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Can I just share the passage again? Because I want to look particularly at the hymn. Whether this is the first hymn in the New Testament or not, it's always been set out as a poem. And so it's not a great surprise. It's been set to music a couple of times. We're not singing it this morning, but feel free to sing it on your own time. And there it is. There it is, that God emptied himself. That God made himself flesh.
I can't see it.
And put himself amongst us. Christ Jesus, in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, a servant, and being born in human likeness and found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A day will come. A day will come when every knee shall bow. But we can do our part to help that happen, one knee at a time. That by being Christ in the world, by walking his way, by doing his stuff. And this is a part of that, what we've been talking about this morning. If you know someone who needs help, find a way to help them, or to give them the information to help themselves. If you are someone who needs help, then find a way to get it, rather than to stand on your dignity and hope that it goes away. Be the light that we seek in the world. It's what we're called to do. And as it gets literally darker outside, as we move towards Christmas, that's why we were talking about it last week, and that's why we'll talk about it again. Be the light, be the change, as Obama said, be the change that you wish to see. And God calls us to do that. God has always called us to do that. It's there in the Gospels. It's there in the letters. It's there in the work of the early church. It's there in the whole history of the church. And the church has got it wrong as often as it's got it right, but it's got it right. And it's continued to get it right. And we can be part of that. We are part of that. Why we find ourselves in this church rather than another one. Because this has always been something of the church of the broken wing. This has always been a church. I've got one as well. This has always been a church that reaches out and that cares and that wears its heart on its sleeve. I know this from a few years back, and I suspect most of the rest of you do as well. But I know you do. And so we find ourselves called to help again. And we will. And we do because of Christ's example, because he walked this way first, because he did these things first, and because other people were inspired by what he did to do it themselves. So the last hymn this morning is In Christ Alone, and it's the Celtic version again, which I deeply love. The words are not on the screen, but hopefully you'll know them enough to crack on. Hang on, I need to go into my, before I share anything, I need to go into my YouTube and make things happen. There we go. All right, tum-ti-tum. Right, here we go. And here we go. And there it is. Right, I will see if I can unmute everybody. No, I can't, so you'll just have to unmute yourselves. And we'll say a final prayer. Lord and Father God, thank you for bringing us together, and thank you for sending us out. May we go out into the world in peace and love to live and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.
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 Amen.